This week has been another roller coaster for me. I am very saddened by the death of Florence's son last Wednesday, and we have a funeral on Monday morning at 11 o'clock at Roland Funeral Homes. My husband and I have raked our front yard the other day for about an hour and a half and noticed how difficult it is. While we were working, he mentioned of his labor-intensive work is the physically unfit for him, perhaps because his recent back operation. I was able to encourage him by saying how wonderful and thankful it is to have some property to take care of. So let us rejoice in the Lord always, not only in the seasons of Christmas, but always, under any circumstances. Does it make sense? Speaking of any circumstances, you might ask a question struggling, just like I did, because I was in the middle of empathizing sorrow who lost her son. So I was not able to focus on writing the sermon because I have already given my title, Rejoice in the Lord Always, Rejoice. So I was really having a difficult time. Wait until the last minute. Nevertheless, we Christians, we citizens of the heaven, live in a world of two words. Word of time and word of eternity. Amen. So, and we ought to concentrate in the time of eternity, as Psalmist sings in chapter 39, verses 4 to 7. Let me remind you of these verses one more time. Show me, O Lord, my life's end and number of my days. Let me know how fleeting is my life, and you have made my days a mere hand breath. The span of my years is as nothing before you. Each man's life is but a breath. Man is a mere phantom as he goes to and fro. He bustles about, but only in vain. He heaps up wealth, not knowing who will get it. But now, Lord, what do I look for? My hope is in you. Amen. Our hope is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. And C.S. Lewis mentions of this eternal life as one of the hopes of the theological virtues in his book called The Joyful Christians. This means that a continual looking forward to eternal world is not a form of escapism or wishful thinking, but one of the things that Christian is meant to do. And if you read the history, you will find that the Christians who did most of the present world were just those who thought most of the next. The apostle themselves, who set on foot conversion of the Roman Empire, the great man who built up the Middle Ages, and English evangelicals who abolished the slave trade. I forgot the name of it, but he created and composed a hymn. And all left their mark on earth, precisely because their minds were occupied with heaven. Aim at heaven, and you will get earth. And aim at earth, you will get neither. It seems strange rule, isn't it? But there is another example I can just make you understand a little easier. Health is a great blessing, but the moment you make health one of your main concerns and or direct object, you start thinking, you become obsessed with, and imagining there is something wrong with you. Make sense? So eternal life is not something we look forward to. It's something that we already arrived. And because Christ has arrived and has brought eternity into our midst already. So today's New Testament text, Philippians, that which is the happiest letter written by Paul, seems as if it were the continuation of my last week's sermon, Grace and Peace, as it contains one of the favorite verses of Hart's. She mentioned that it has to be specifically into the bulletin. I can do everything through Jesus Christ who gives me strength. Remember that one? A lot of people memorize these verses from Philippians. And there is another one. Everything, you heard that? You know, most well-known and loved one, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Remember those? It's full of exhortation among these Philippian letters, the verses. Not only these verses, the whole book contains exhortation and who need the support in order for them to have what? Peaceful mind in Christ. Rejoice in the Lord always. How thankful we are to have our Lord, our Savior and Creator, who is coming. And peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. Amen. Because knowledge of God comes through Jesus Christ, I believe, and I would like to challenge you with the words. What is the difference between happiness, joy, and pleasure? Maybe it's my second language. That it comes to me, I used to preach to the children. The happiness when you get your presents or some kind of gesture by hugging, that you feel happy. But joy comes from inward. That God initiates. And that pleasure, maybe that children may not be able to understand well. And someone described it so well. Happiness is infectious, and joy is life in excess, the overflow of what cannot be contained within any one person. So there is a slight difference in the connotation. And then I believe the pleasure is sometimes, pleasure seems a bit difficult for children to understand, while joy comes from inward by the grace of God, which is initiated by the Lord. In other words, joy is never in our power, while pleasure often is. So also, gospel lesson from Luke. John the Baptist says, while he preached the good news, Jesus will baptize with the Holy Spirit, with the fire. Here we can see symbol of peace, the dove, which is known for a symbol of the Holy Spirit. Remember, Jesus was baptized, the dove was there, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the sustainer and symbol of purity, holiness, and peace. And our finder, Wesley, talks about this spirit as holy love. In his own word, quote, through the painful, though necessary, work of conviction, the Holy Spirit prepares us for his or her inward kingdom, whereby the heart and its various tempers and affections are transformed by love, unquote. That joy, sanctifying grace, by the sanctifying grace. This encompasses qualitative change, that of a transformed nature, such as believers become what they have never been before. Maybe 180, if you go around 360, that you become the same person, but it is increasing, aspect of our transformative, that's a sanctifying grace. The one of the commentaries said that no preachers would be willing to read the week's gospel. You heard about this week's gospel that I read by the Gospel of Luke. Actually, it is a challenge for all of us on the third Sunday of Advent to talk about repentance. However, it is not enough for us to hear, to reorient ourselves and to refocus on Jesus Christ, especially at this time of the year. Because it's a time of celebration of Jesus' birth, not spending time shopping and partying to the extreme. Please, don't get me wrong. I don't want to be judgmental, but it is perfectly fine to have, you know, not but. It is perfectly fine to have a good time and having relationship, making relationship with other human beings and having some pleasure of purchasing things for the loved one. But at the same time, we ought to be very conscious of the unfathomable love of God who came and who has sent his begotten son to us. This is the season. This is the season. We are celebrating the birth of Jesus. That has to come first. Amen? And think of Jesus' humility to obey his Father, which is the culmination of God's grace and peace for us. In this third Sunday of Advent, we are celebrating Christ the joy. We have lit the candle here. As we expect and wait for Jesus' coming, we are to enjoy a God-initiated and God-perpetuated standing. And since we are listening to John the Baptist's good news part in the later part, I'd like to go back to last week's context where Zechariah sings, remember that one? The knowledge of salvation through forgiveness of sins because of the tender mercy of our God is a joy that the worst disappointment of life cannot destroy. Rejoice in the Lord always. Can we say all together, rejoice in the Lord always? God is good. All the time. God is good. Amen. So today's Old Testament, Isaiah, once again point out the wells of salvation. Wells of salvation. Give thanks to the Lord. Call on his name, for great is the Holy One of Israel among you. Prophet, this Israel prophet, preaches repentance and salvation, thanksgiving God for his restoration. Trust God regardless. No ifs, no ands, no buts, no howevers. Rejoice in the Lord always. We have faith in Christ. By the grace of God, we have hope and confidence in him. No confidence in flesh. Time flies so fast that we do not have a moment to waste. We Christians, it is time to prepare Jesus' coming. Thanksgiving God's history of salvation. The Bible says, consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness, knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. Unquote. It is delight and a desire of God that we follow and live like Christ and experience the power of resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his suffering. We ought to press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me and called us heavenward in Christ Jesus. Amen? Press on. Life has ups and downs, and death and life, the birth, and God's grace is sufficient. And it is to be perfected in our weaknesses. Rejoice in the Lord always.